We're continuing in Jeremiah chapter 5. It's a study that is right out of the Word of God, and therefore it is important. There is nothing in the Bible that we can say, well, that is not something we want to know about. We want to learn from each part of the Bible. Now, we've been going on in Jeremiah 5, and we have come down to verse 24, and this verse 24 is a very, very interesting verse. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Well, now, in beginning to look at this, let's go back to Leviticus 23. Now, when we look at Leviticus 23, we find that God is speaking about three major events. God is showing us in Leviticus 23 that this first fruits, this first harvest, is the Passover. And the second harvest is Pentecost. Okay, now the key, what we're looking for here is what follows. We read in verse 10 about this harvest, and then remember we read in verse 14, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye brought an offering unto the Lord. It shall be a law or a statute forever. A statute forever. Now, ordinarily, when we read the word a statute forever, a law forever, we immediately say, well, yes, that's like the seventh-day Sabbath law, that we keep that in principle forever because Christ is our rest. It is pointing to Christ, who is the fulfillment. That piece of information is correct, of course, that Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. Fact is, when we look at the New Testament, we find that he's demonstrated to us as the Lamb. And the Lamb we see here in the new heaven and the new earth. He is our Savior forever. And so that certainly is in view. We find, however, that this phrase in verse 14, it shall be a statute forever, is also used in three other places in Leviticus 23, and in a very significant way. And the reason we're interested in this is that we saw this phrase statute or lawful in connection with the harvest that is spoken of in Jeremiah 5. And so we're trying to figure out how all this ties together. Now we go on in Leviticus 23. It has talked there about the Pentecostal harvest. We read that it came seven Sabbaths after. And then in verse 21, as it's continuing to talk about the Pentecostal harvest, it says in verse 21, and ye shall proclaim on the self same day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work thereon. It shall be a statute forever. Same phrase that we found in verse 14 in connection with the Passover. A statute forever. And we wonder, well, now, what really is God saying? Is it more to it? In other words, is Pentecost something that goes on forever? Does God continue to bring people into the kingdom of God forever? And the answer is no, no. That all ended at Judgment Day. At Judgment Day, in fact, the Pentecostal harvest ended at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, because that identifies with the church age. And so we wonder, again, why does he say a statute forever? Well, let's go on. Now we get down to verse 24. And we read there in verse 24, in the seventh month, in the first of the month, shall be a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That's the feast of new moons. It is the a very, very important day in the Old Testament divine economy, that it was the day, the blowing of trumpets, and it announced the month in which two very important ceremonial observances took place. The first was that on the 10th of the month was the Day of Atonement, which was exceedingly important because that was the day that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, and it typified Christ going into heaven. And also in that month, there was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. And that came on the 15th to the 22nd of that month. So the seventh month was a very, very important month. It was two great activities. The first month, the big activity, was the Passover. And that was accompanied by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, there were 7 days of unleavened bread. And sometimes the Passover is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll look at that in a moment also again. The Pentecost came 50 days later, almost, not quite, 2 months after the Passover, and would have occurred in the third month of the Jewish calendar. But then came the seventh month, and that was a big month. And God announced it by the blowing of the trumpets, and then there was the Day of Atonement on the 10th day, and on the 15th day was the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was very, very important. We look first of all at the 10th day. We read in verse 27 of Leviticus 23. Also on the 10th of this seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls. And we know from Isaiah 58, the normal way in which people afflicted their souls was they fasted. They did not eat on that day at all. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Ye shall do no work in that same day, and so on. And in verse 31, still talking about the Day of Atonement, he says, ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever. A statute forever. Third time we find that phrase, identical phrase. In connection with the Passover, it's a statute forever. Connection with Pentecost, feast day, it's a statute forever. In connection with the Day of Atonement, it is a statute forever. Now we go on into verse 34. Verse 34 of Leviticus 23. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. He says in verse 39, he uses that feast for that double emphasis. It is the Feast of Tabernacles, but it's also to be a Feast of Ingathering. We read in verse 39, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth shall be a Sabbath, and so on. And then he ties that into the Feast of Tabernacles, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Again, that same phrase, a statute forever. Well, what is all this telling us? And you know the importance of these events. And of course, the Feast of the Day of Atonement was only 5 days removed from the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, all the males, if we go to Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, as well as other places, but in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, we read there, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread. Now remember, the feast of unleavened bread was a seven-day feast that began with the Passover. So the feast of unleavened bread identifies totally with the Passover. And that was one of the feasts. All the males were to go to Jerusalem. And then he said, and in the feast of weeks, and from other passages we know the feast of weeks is what Pentecost was. Now it's true that the Pentecost day was a single day. But remember, it was related to the Passover in that there were 7 weeks of 7 days that had to go by, and then came Pentecost. And so God gave the name Feast of Weeks to Pentecost. That's a very interesting statement that God makes, because Pentecost was not a seven-day feast. It was a single-day feast, but it came in relationship to seven periods of seven, that is 7 weeks of 7 days, and therefore God calls it the Feast of Weeks, making it parallel to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was 7 days. And then, notice he says, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, how long was the Feast of Tabernacles? 7 days. And so, again, we find these three feasts identifying with each other by the fact that God is using the number seven, the Feast of Weeks, for the Pentecost, the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the Passover, which was an actual period of 7 days, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which was an actual period of 7 days. And all three of these feasts carried the admonition in Leviticus 23, they are a statute forever. Now, you notice it does not speak of the Day of Atonement here, but it is a fact. And that is, the Day of Atonement was 5 days before the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, as it was also called. And if someone was going to come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, or for the Feast of the Day of Atonement, they could not make two separate trips out of that. It would have been one gathering. In other words, every fall in the seventh month, Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims from all over Jerusalem, or all over Israel, as well as other parts of the world. Remember at Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, there were people there from 17 or 18 different nations, from Cappadocia and Syria and all kinds of countries outside. They all came in to observe this command of Deuteronomy 16. They came to Jerusalem during that feast time. So God maintains the focal point on three, namely, we have the Feast of Tabernacles, but it is so close to the Day of Atonement that what is applied to the Day of Atonement also applies, I think we can say, to the Feast of Tabernacles. They are virtually one and the same. Now comes the big question. How does this work out in life? Now, it's very, very curious and certainly significant that when we look at this first feast day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, with the dominant focus on the Passover, did that identify with the working out of God's future salvation plan? They observed this for 1,500 years, or almost 1,500 years, rigorously observing it. These commands were given just after they had left Egypt. It was in the year they left Egypt, 1447 B.C., and almost immediately they came to Mount Sinai, and Moses went up on the top of Mount Sinai. So it would have been either that year or 1446 B.C. that these laws were given and were to be observed. In other words, for over 1,400 years, they had rigorously observed these laws, and then came the initial fulfillment. What was the fulfillment of all these laws? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was the Passover looking forward to? It was looking forward to Christ as the Passover Lamb. He was introduced, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." When? On the 14th day of the first month in A.D. 33, exactly on the day that they observed the Passover in the Old Testament. Exactly on that day. That's very interesting. That's very significant. Is that what God meant when he said that let this be a statute forever? We get to the second feast. What was that? The Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. What was that anticipating? That was anticipating this great and wonderful event when God would pour out his Holy Spirit and begin to evangelize the world, bringing in the Pentecostal harvest of the first fruits. And when was the Holy Spirit poured out? Very literally in history. On the very same day that the Pentecostal feast days had been ordained, seven Sabbaths after Christ was crucified. Exactly on that day we have Pentecost. And so we then can say, well, okay, it's a statute forever. It's a law that God has decreed forever. The first law started with Christ being crucified and finds its fulfillment in the actuality of what it was pointing to. The second law was a statute forever and finds its fulfillment literally at a point in history when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so it has, what God has ordained has been accomplished forever. It has done all the work it is to do. Well, now that brings us to the very intriguing question. And right now, I have to begin to say I'm not going to be totally dogmatic. I'm simply going to tell you that this is what I read in the Bible, and so I have to talk about it. Namely, we have one other feast day that is identified with seven, the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Weeks. It, too, is spoken as a statute forever. Now, I admit that the Day of Atonement is not mentioned as a time of harvest, and so that is the reason I'm being cautious. I'm not going to get super dogmatic about this. But then the question is, what about the final fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles? We'll look at that in our next study.